You've got the idea this morning, talking about celebration, yeah? Did that message find its way? Did it land? And I don't know about you, but when I think about celebrations, sometimes there's all kinds of, we mentioned some of them this morning, you know, at the start when people, those readings of the different celebrations that took place in the Old Testament and the New Testament as well, but all kinds of things that God's people did to celebrate. And some of those celebrations that took place, the one that I liked, which was the one that talked about the 14-day celebration. Now, just put your hand up if you fancy the idea of a 14-day celebration. I kind of do, but you know, on day 13, I'm not sure if I'd be kind of up for it. But I think, yeah, washing up on day 15, yeah, that would be a big old job. And I don't know if you wear the same clothes for the whole of that time, but that would be interesting as well, wouldn't it? But what I just wanted to quickly bring to our attention this morning was another celebration that relates to a story in the Old Testament. And it's in Leviticus. I think we've got the verses here. It's in Leviticus 16, 8-10. The words are there. You can follow along. He is to cast sacred lots to determine which goats will be reserved as an offering to the Lord and which will carry the sins of the people to the wilderness of Azazel. Aaron will then present as a sin offering the goat chosen by lot for the Lord. The other goat, the scapegoat, chosen by lot to be sent away, will be kept alive, standing before the Lord. When it's sent away to Azazel in the wilderness, the people will be purified and made right with God. Okay, question for you. What do the following phrases here all have in common? They are all in the Bible, but they no longer have religious meanings because for us they've entered everyday English. And that's true, and you're welcome to take a photo now and go and do your homework later if you want to find out a bit more, but that's the case. So these are all in the Bible, but they no longer have a religious meaning because they've entered everyday English. But maybe the best example, and certainly what I want to talk about just briefly for a moment now, is this biblical story that I've just read, is the word scapegoat. Now, we go back 3,500 years, and this day would result in great celebration. It was the Day of Atonement. And in fact, it's still celebrated by Jews even today. It was the one day, this Day of Atonement was the one day in the year when the high priest would enter the most holy place in the temple. For the rest of the year, he couldn't do that. Because of the holiness of God, if he did, he would die. And on this day, on the Day of Atonement, this day of celebration, he would take two goats. This isn't a goat, but let's pretend. So the high priest would take two goats, one for God and one for the scapegoat. They were treated completely differently to symbolize the two things that happen when a holy God forgives a sinful people. One, the first goat, would be sacrificed as the normal practice in those days, and its blood smeared around the altar in this holy place, in the holy part of the temple, like the normal sin offering. So this was the normal part. The other, the scapegoat, would be sent into the wilderness carrying the sins of the people, never to be seen again. It took the blame that rightly belonged to the others. And that's what the word scapegoat obviously still means today. So these two goats represented the two aspects of God's forgiveness: cleansing and separation. The first goat, all about cleansing from sin. It was Godward. Dealt with the uncleanness from sin and restored God's people to God. As we know, we talk about it often, sin leads to death, which brings guilt. So our guilt is cleansed by the death of an innocent. That was the whole practice. That was the whole point of goat number one. The scapegoat, however, the second goat, was to demonstrate separation from sin. It showed God's people that their sins had been taken away, as far as the east is from the west, is what the Bible says. And it's true that sin, we talk about falling short of what God's best is for us, also leads to separation, which brings shame. Our shame is then removed, this is what happens in the process, as the exile of the innocent, as the second goat leaves the camp, goes into the wilderness, signifying what has happened to God's people's sin. So, on this Day of Atonement, for God's people's sake, and now for ours, both cleansing and separation are needed when God forgives, so that both the sin and the shame are overcome. Because I think of it like this, it's all very well having someone forgive you for theft, murder, adultery, but if the result of your sin, a pile of stolen money, a corpse, a jilted husband, is sitting at the end of your bed every day, it's very difficult to accept it, right? So, the scapegoat, let's pretend this is the scapegoat, is a very powerful picture. When the priest, do you want to be a priest? The priest laid his hands on the scapegoat, laid all of God's people's sins upon it, and sent it out into the desert. Let's be clear, the priest didn't go with the goat. Okay, I could see that. The goat was struggling to go on its own. Okay. And God's people saw that scapegoat go into the desert. They realized they'd not just been forgiven, but their sins had also been forgotten, taken away. And it's almost like as God's people saw that goat go, it just symbolized that their greed, their lust, their sin was gone, never to be seen again. And like so many things in the Old Testament, of course, very quickly we see how this translates to us and the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 5 says, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Now, I guess we're all familiar. We often talk about Jesus as the first goat. We sinned, he didn't. He got killed, we don't. It's true, it's glorious. We think about it, we talk about it, we sing about it. But perhaps we don't consider quite as often that Jesus is also our scapegoat. Took our sins away, he left the camp, separating us from our sins and removing the shame that separated us from God. Now, in a couple of weeks' time, we'll celebrate Easter, won't we? And think about Golgotha, the place where Jesus died. And Golgotha wasn't just a suburb of Jerusalem. It was the execution venue, which was outside the city walls. Now, that might not seem that significant to us, but to the Jewish people who knew this story so well in Leviticus, it couldn't be more important. And he actually explains it in Hebrews 13. It says, "For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp." So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. "Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and near the reproach he endured." Jesus was killed outside the city walls, outside the camp, to demonstrate that our sins were not only cleansed but also removed from us. As he walked out of the city, which he was the true king, carrying a cross, he effectively also carried the shame of everything you and I have done. He carried it out of the camp, into the wilderness, onto the cross, never to be seen again. The ultimate scapegoat. Celebration? I think so. So this Day of Atonement was amazing. It was the day sins were forgiven and a day of celebration. And that's why I thought we would talk about it very briefly this morning. Next week, we'll celebrate 40 years of Ashwood. 2 years' time, we'll celebrate Easter. 2 weeks' time, what did I say? Yeah, 2 years and 2 weeks. We'll celebrate Easter again. And today, we wanted to celebrate. So we remind ourselves of the God who, however far we run, however far we go, when we come back, he opens his arms, welcomes us in, and also provided for us not only the goat that would cleanse our sin, but the scapegoat that actually takes all of our sin away. So this morning, if you're hanging on to the sin that's at the end of your bed, then why not ask Jesus, the scapegoat, take your sins, which is actually what has happened, watch the scapegoat go out into the wilderness, leave the camp, and celebrate that your sins are not only forgiven, they're also forgotten. Is that good news? I think so.